Well, you look just like your profile picture.
Thanks.
Do I look like mine?
You do.
Where are you from?
My dad is Scandinavian.
Oh, I get that. You're blonde.
My mom is from Proxima Centauri.
Proxima Centauri? I must have been playing hooky when they covered that in geography.
That would have been covered in astronomy.
Huh?
Proxima Centauri is about 4 light years from here.
Really? Waiter! Check, please.
The safari park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Hello, Larry!
Hats off to Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry!
Larry!
Larry! Larry, get into bed now!
Is the dating scene you just heard purely fictive? Well, not according to an Oxford University professor who claims aliens are already breeding with humans on Earth. The professor has written a book called Alien Visitations and the End of Humanity. His name is Dr. Yong-Hi Chi. He teaches Korean at Oxford and thinks this new species will save Earth from annihilation we face due to climate change. Uh-oh, there's two credibility-fracturing phrases right there. Save the world and climate change. One would assume Dr. Chi is not your garden variety Fortean Times contributor. He has some heavy academic bona fides. At Oxford, well, there's a brand with instant prestige, right? Oxford Dictionary, Oxford Shirt, Oxford Shoes, Oxford Suits, and of course, the institution that's been shaping, or maybe warping minds since the year 1096. 1096, that's old. Almost as old as Bernie Sanders. Now, Dr. Chi believes there is a strong correlation between climate change and alien abductions. I recently did a show in this vein. Larry's Alien Abduction. That would be episode 175 at thatlarryshow.com. I know all about alien abductions, and I can assure you, it has jack shit to do with climate change. But Doc G, he's probably a fan of the 2008 reboot of The Day the Earth Stood Still, when Keanu Reeves and his menacing, all-powerful robot came to Earth to teach us that we must guard against climate change. Betcha AOC is a fan of that movie, too. In the original version from 1951, the bugaboo was nukes. And in that movie, an intergalactic cop and his muscle robot Gort came to Earth to tell us to stop playing with fireworks, especially the big ones, the ones that make mushroom clouds and cows with 5 legs. The Cold War was just getting started back then, and nuclear Armageddon had nitwits biting their nails for decades. After the Cold War ended, pinko politicos needed a new existential threat to scare the piss out of their weak-minded minions, and some smartass said, let's just use the fucking weather. There's always going to be tornadoes and hurricanes and blizzards. Let's blame them on the opposition. It started in the 70s with predictions of a second ice age. And when that didn't materialize, they turned on the heat with global warming. And when that didn't end the world, they wisely opted for the more elastic and utilitarian climate change. Hot or cold, wet or dry, whichever it is, it's bad, and the world's fucked. AOC says we've got 12 years, but Al Gore said we were past the point of no return quite a few years ago. You know, as a guy with multiple mansions and private jets and many SUVs in his mansion's driveways, Al should know. The climate change hustlers are a lot like Jehovah's Witnesses. Those guys have been predicting the end of the world for hundreds of years. Doesn't stop them from doing it again. Now, this Oxford professor, he says he's identified 4 basic types of aliens. Small, tall and bold, scaly with snake eyes, and insect-like. Now, why is there no descriptor for each kind? If tall is also bold, does that mean that small is timid? Why is the snake-eyed one necessarily scaly? And what exactly is insect-like? That could be anything from a gnat to an atlas beetle. Dr. Chi believes the insect ones may be in charge and giving orders to the other varieties. I can buy into that. Washington, D.C. is filled with cockroaches giving orders to us, isn't it? Chi says the aliens exist in their own biosystem that humans cannot experience because our perception is limited. Well, no shit. Dr. Chi believes these highly intelligent aliens could solve the problems on Earth in the future, such as climate change. He said, and this is a direct quote, "So they come not for the sake of us, but for the sake of them, their survival. But their survival is actually our survival as well, the survival of the entire biosphere." But if they're from a world light years away, what has Earth's survival to do with theirs? Anybody within the sound of my voice give a shit what's happening on Proxima Centauri? Dr. Chi said he was, quote, "still looking for more evidence to support his view." Maybe Doc Chi is looking in the wrong place. When you look at Adam Lanza, remember him? The Sandy Hook psycho? Doesn't his Dorito-shaped head and creepy face look a lot like those little gray aliens in sci-fi movies? When I did an image search to confirm my suspicions, a search using DuckDuckGo.com, which is every bit as good as commie outfit Google, but does not track or store your searches, a fascinating picture popped up. It's a split screen of Lanza and his doppelganger, David Hogg. The resemblance is astonishing. It sure looks as if they share DNA, a lot of it. Is it possible those two are what Dr. Chi is talking about? The picture I saw was from one of those News of the Weird websites called Black Diamond Social Club. It really makes you wonder. So if Chi is right, is some unidentifiable genetic material showing up in these 23andMe and Ancestry DNA tests? And if so, what are they telling customers?
"Dear Mr. Smith, here are your results from 23andMe. You are 47% Northwestern European, 3% Mediterranean, and 50% unknown."
Why do people do 23andMe? I did it because it was a gift from my wife. Maybe she wanted to find out if I was entirely human. There were no big surprises. I had a little bit of Italian and American Indian ancestry. But unless they could tell me I was related to Cochise or Enzo Ferrari, why would I give a shit? And even if they could, I still wouldn't give a shit. How would that affect my life? Ever meet these people who claim to be related to famous people? Aren't they the most annoying cretins? They always find some way to shoehorn their big-name relative into every conversation. Why? All it does is highlight the fact that the relative is famous and successful, and they are anonymous and presumably far less successful. Although for a lot of people, fame is more highly prized than success, which is probably why a lot of billionaires splash their names across hospital wings they built. You look at it and wonder, who the fuck is Martin Zimzow? And then you find out Marty put up the $200 million that financed that research wing on the medical center. I guess he's entitled to put his name on it. The less wealthy have to settle for maybe a brick in the schoolyard. That's a more affordable shot at fame. Although eventually, we all get our name etched on a stone, don't we? Bronze name plaques on benches are kind of popular. There's one on a hiking trail I like. It's in the middle of a heavily wooded area, looking down on a stream. And it is covered in bird shit. Mounds of it. Always. I wonder if the donor knew his bench would wind up in the woods as a bird toilet. Before there was DNA ancestry testing, people in search of ancestral validation were relying on, what, psychics and spirit channelers and past life hypnotic regression kooks. They'd reach out into the astral plane or put the subject in a deep trance and invariably discover that the utterly average person sitting before them had lived in 18th century France or ancient Egypt. And in that previous life in France or Egypt, were they sweeping floors at Versailles or wiping the pharaoh's ass? Fuck no! They were Marie Antoinette or Cleopatra herself. Sometimes they'd dial it back a little to make it more believable. Make it a French noblewoman or a trusted advisor in the court of Ramses II. But nobody has ever spent a past life as a janitor. Maybe that's why some people are obsessed with this DNA ancestry shit. They're leading lives as dull as the rest of us, but they think that finding a connection to some other race or ethnicity will make them interesting. But as a guy I worked with used to say, nobody gives a shit but your mother. That statement is really true. Nobody does give a shit but mom, and sometimes even she doesn't give a shit. I'm always amazed by how total strangers will, with no encouragement whatsoever, begin to spew their most personal stories. Left by a girlfriend, afflicted with eczema, can't stomach the mother-in-law, hemorrhoids are acting up, shit like that. Maybe it's a Southern California thing, where everyone is self-absorbed. I don't recall that happening much back in New York. Or maybe it's not geographical. Maybe all the social media has conditioned us to share. That might be it. When asked, "How are you?" we're all conditioned to reflexively echo, "Fine, how are you?" It's the polite thing to do. And at that point, everyone should hopefully dummy up. I just bag the groceries, or bring the soup, or hand you the dry cleaning, whatever. Not anymore. Now, as often as not, you'll get the big sigh. The moment you hear that sigh, you must belch loudly, or rip a glass-cracking fart, or have a Tourette's episode, or fake a grand mal seizure, because if you fail to interrupt that sigh, you're in for a fucking torrent of complaints about stuff that doesn't mean a goddamn thing to you. My sciatica, my student loan, my transmission, my arthritis, my cat, my dog, my kid, my mother, my wife, my boss, my shingles, my congressman, and on it goes. And it matters not whether you feign interest. Once they start, they'll never stop. So cut them off at the sigh. But back to those aliens that have been breeding with us. Who are they? What do they do? How do they blend in? In that same episode about alien abduction, I theorized that space aliens own and operate all the roadside attractions and souvenir stands and curio shops in America. Those places are filled with weird junk and people just passing through, so they're perfect for Martians. I guess carnivals would be good for aliens too, but I always heard they were heavy with ex-cons. Who knows? But what if you found out that the man or woman you were dating, or worse, were married to, was from another planet? People bullshit about their backgrounds all the time. Elizabeth Warren says she's an Indian. AOC likes to claim she's from the South Bronx. Hillary will fake accents to get votes. Politicians never like to admit they came from money and have had a boat ride of a life. That doesn't play well with the masses. They like to say they came from dirt and bootstrap themselves. Sure. If they ever dig deep enough, they'll probably find out Lincoln grew up in a fucking mansion in Inverness. But what if, as the old Talking Head lyric goes, you may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife? You may ask yourself, how did I get here? Or more likely, how did she get here? Maybe you've seen some unidentifiable scales in her bathroom sink, or her snoring is beginning to sound like crickets. Maybe you do an image search on some of her childhood pictures and it turns out they were cut and pasted from cereal ads or travel brochures. Her brother always seemed kind of weird, too. Or when she gets really pissed off, her irises become vertical orange slits. Oh, shit. Hollywood usually depicts aliens as doughy, shape-shifting grays or some kind of reptile, or maybe it's that big shiny fuck with the retractable jaws from Alien. But there was a goofy flick from the 90s called Species, starring a very pointy blonde named Natasha Henstridge. And for a change, the alien was female, hot as hell, but no less dangerous. The only scene I recall was Natasha making out with some guy when her 12-inch forked tongue punches a hole through the back of his skull like a deer slug. That was pretty cool. If aliens were smart and could alter their appearance, that would be a bright play, right? Forget the smalls and tall and bold or scaly snake eyes or insects from that Oxford guy. And forget Adam Lanza and David Hogg, too. Pointy chick aliens could take over the world in a matter of hours. It seems Oxford has no monopoly on fucktard faculty. Stanford University, not to be one-upped in the conflation of climate change and alien invasions, offers us their own guy, Jacob Ward, a fellow at their Center for Advanced Study in the Behavioral Sciences. Here's what Ward just said on MSNBC. Of course.
Right now, there's not even consensus around climate change.
I know. I mean, that's the thing, right? You look at it and you think, this should be our great unifying moment, right? This is the moment when space aliens land with ray guns and are threatening all of us and we all band together like you see in the movies. This is it.
Wow. This guy's 45 years old. Dr. Chi is no kid either. And they both sound like eight-year-olds. Their points of reference are fucking sci-fi movies, most of which are expressly written for 8 to 14-year-old boys. Clearly, Dr. Chi has a Woody for The Day the Earth Stood Still, and Jake Ward is probably a big fan of, what, Independence Day. If you're currently enrolled in any college anywhere on this planet, I sincerely hope you're there on full scholarship, because whatever the tuition might be, it's too fucking much. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Stop by thatlarryshow.com for more content and commentary. And while you're there, click one of those subscribe buttons, Apple, Android, whatever, so you never miss an episode. If you'd like to help us keep the lights on, click that Patreon button while you're there and get your hands on dozens of bonus episodes and signed books and custom recordings. Follow the show on Twitter and Facebook. Just plug That Larry Show in the search bar. You'll find it. And so, my friends, I think I'll take us out today with a song parody about climate change I wrote and performed a few years back. There's a companion video with it, and I'll post that on the show page. Until this weekend and Sinner's Sunday, date no aliens and take no shit.
In the winter it snows, in the autumn leaves blow, and the measure of people like pizza to go. Zippers get stuck, riders get thrown, and Keith's still the best Rolling Stone. But the climate is not changing. The buildings got taller, and the cars they got small, and the city of Berlin is minus a wall. The TV TVs got wider and Main Street's a mall. And the pawnbroker's still got three balls. But the climate is not changing. Al Gore says our days, they are numbered like cards. And soon we'll be drowning in our own backyards. The ice caps will melt and the planet will warm. And we must cap and trade and do as he says. And stop driving big shiny cars. But the climate is not changing. Al, please take your Nobel and hockey stick charts. And your Oscar in limos and greenhouse gas farts. Your junk science, carbon credits, and massage parlor tarts. Shove your prophesied doom and your verbal monsoons and your books full of half-truths and lies. For the climate is not a-changing. The lines have been drawn and the battle is planned. And his minions, they march for the easy green man who sits in his mansions on a throne with a tan, with a private jet at his command. He says, do as I say, but not as I do. But the climate is not a-changing. No, the climate is not a-changing. No, the climate is not a-changing.